but it doesn't feel as good as saying this. The drive is live.
I see it, baby. The text line's off and running, baby. 610 sold us this BS, and now they're trying to spin it. That's why this station is a joke.
Hey.
Still number one and up for a Marconi, sucker. Your ears are listening right now, idiot.
All of those are factual. All of those are factual. But you are lying, sir. And I don't mean that in the BS way. You're lying. We didn't try to spend nothing for you. And now there might be some of y'all who can't stand us, but we tried our damnedest to get you prepared for this. I don't know how many times over the offseason I have said, hey, guys, say it out loud. Bring the offensive line coach who was here last year and promote him to be the one. That's the fix. Go get a guy who's never called plays before, never designed plays before.
And hire the staff for him.
Yeah, hire the staff for him. He brings nobody over except for some other guy.
Chaplinski, I think.
Sure.
Yeah, I don't think I have that name, but you get my point. It's a ski for sure.
And listen, I'm not saying that you may have not heard that here, but you didn't hear that from the drive. The drive repeatedly tried to prepare you, even in the face of, shut up, you haters, try to prepare you for the potential of this. So there ain't no spinning it here. We did our damnedest to try to prepare you for that.
You got some poor timing on that old text message right there.
That is not over here on the drive, by the way, Clint. The Texans on a reaction Monday. They fall 0-3. And what is the what's the stat? 4 out of the last 163 teams that started 0-3 have made the playoffs since the playoff has expanded. Only one of 118 in this century have started 0-3 and made the playoffs.
So, I think that's the Texans.
It was, yeah. 2018.
2018 when they started off and Is that the Colts year where they lost to the Colts in the playoffs to Andrew Luck and the Colts?
Gotta be.
They got blasted.
Yeah. I know it was 2018. I know it was the Texans. That was the last time it's happened.
Was that Watson's first year?
I think it was his second year, isn't it?
I believe so. Yeah, it wasn't his rookie year.
Yeah, because his rookie year, he didn't start until week 4.
Yeah.
Something like that, right? It was because, what's his name? Savage started several games.
Yeah.
Yeah, old Tom. Oh, I think Tom started. Didn't Tom just make it the half?
in the first game?
I thought that was.
Oh, maybe he did.
I was covering
the team at that point. I don't remember hardly anything. My memory is shot.
I just remember Bill saying he was the guy. He was the guy, and he lasted a half.
It was halftime, yeah.
Was it halftime of the first game?
Yep.
Jacksonville, wasn't it?
Week one, yep. And then Watson came in and immediately showed some good things, and everyone was like, ah, look at this.
Yeah. That's what they have in front of them, Clint, is they're 0-3. And now I would say they have the most talent and look like the best of the 0-3 teams left. And I would say they're separate from teams to me, just talent wise teams to me, like the Saints and the Giants and the Jets and other teams, but they're in trouble, Clint. And we talked about it over the last couple of weeks. Now the Colts go 3-0 and dominate the Titans. And now they're 3 games behind them in the division. And obviously they lost to Jacksonville, so they're behind them as well. They're in trouble, Clint. And I think the big thing that you have, I think, tried to push across since the game ended is this is a different deal. This isn't just a, hey, it's week 3, guys, and let's kind of let them get their bearings and take their time and be patient with the situation. This is more than that.
Yeah, look, I mean, this isn't just a be patient. You know, this type of thing takes time. First time play caller, let him settle in. The guys don't know the terminology. Let them give them some time to figure it out. Everybody be patient. It's just not. I mean, you can look at it. You can look at it however hell you want to, but it's just not. I mean, the football 101 things, this team does not do well. They are not coached. Top to bottom, this is not a well-coached football team. They're not crisp. They're not efficient. They don't communicate well. They're not very physical, contrary to C.J. Stroud's post-game presser. They're not an overly physical bunch. They're not aware situationally of, you know, the play clock and the game clock and what they want to get accomplished. I mean, according to the staff, they're not sound technically or mechanically. They struggle in that department. That's all they need to do to get better is work on those. This is just not a good football team. They're poorly coached, from techniques and mechanics all the way to how they operate on a day-to-day basis. It is clear offensively there is zero attention to detail. There is zero accountability in a sense of how you work, how hard you practice, how hard you run routes, and there's zero emphasis put on holding guys accountable that don't run routes the right depth or don't even run the right route at all, which is not surprising because, I mean, you got D'Amico's getting up there week after week and just doing his damnedest to protect Nick Caley, who's responsible for all this crap.
You think we're seeing it that bad? Like, there are guys just running the completely wrong route.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You got routes that aren't being ran at the right depth. There's a lot of half-ass. I know it's going to be convenient to say, oh, well, these guys, they're thinking. It's a new offense. Call it whatever you want. I mean, you can't – there's so many things that are bad going on offensively. There's no way to fix this thing. You're running an offense that asks the quarterback to be like elite mentally, snap in, snap out. You're running an offense where communication has to be the number one priority. You're running an offense where your technique and mechanic has to be a huge advantage. You can do more with less. Yes, you don't have to have much more than Nico Collins at the wide receiver position if all those other things are perfect. If your quarterback is I mean, unbelievably aware of every tail that the defense is giving him, so he knows how to protect himself. If the offensive line technically, mechanically are unbelievably sound, if the communication is like elite, like you got to have all those things like at an elite level in order for this offense to make sense, and they're just nowhere close on any of the above. I can't think of one thing that they do on an even average level.
Not even on average.
Level. I mean, you look at, like, I want to look at Nick Caley yesterday and say, hey, man, he threw several balls behind the line of scrimmage, and I love some of it. But you look up, and, like, he's throwing a quick screen to Christian Kirk in a press man situation. Both receivers are pressed.
But does
– like, you can't – like
does
that,
the quarterback
like
it, have the ability to change that?
Well, I don't know.
I would hope
so. But if he doesn't – I mean, either he doesn't, which is bad, or he does and he didn't get it done, which is bad. So either way it goes, it doesn't change.
Yep,
it
right.
doesn't change what we're talking
about.
Because
I'm telling you, if you were out there, Clint, and you as a quarterback, and you saw, all right, I know what we got called, and we got pressed man, you know there's no chance.
It's impossible
work.
To block it. If it's yeah, a two-receiver so like, screen like that, it's impossible to block
you
it.
You wouldn't just run it, would you?
No, absolutely yeah. not. Absolutely not. I would change the play. I would call a run player. I would change some kind of – I would stop everything I'm doing, change the protection to a real pass protection. I got man out there. Give me a little pick route. Give me some kind of rub route. Give me something out there where I got a chance.
Hey,
it don't have
something.
To be – well, yeah, you could do that too, doesn't it? But where I was going, it could be the way you're doing it. Christian Kirk could motion in real quick, keep the same motion on, and at the snap of the ball, he just goes right to the flats right now, and the outside receiver pick him. You got a great route. You got a high percentage throw. You got a great route. But I don't know if those mechanisms are in this offense – or not. But I said this last night to Sean, guys, and I think this is it's very elementary and it's real. Like, you watched two quarterbacks that the expectations are probably higher than they should be for both of these quarterbacks at this point in time in their career. But you watched one guy in Trevor Lawrence. Watching that game, y'all tell me, how many times did y'all see Trevor Lawrence at the line of scrimmage doing dummy cadences, doing dummy calls, using snap count to try to get D'Amico's yep. team? He got them to jump a couple times, but he's using it to try to get them to tip their hand of what they're doing. Who's blitzing? Who's bailing? What coverage are you in?
How many times he sent people in motion to figure out what the coverage is?
He did it consistently through the whole game. I don't remember the Texans doing it once. I mean, the Texans are trying to run a play as the third quarter's running out, expiring, like they've got 20 minutes on the clock or something. Like it's.
I know that bothers Sean.
Well, yeah, it was when it was happening. You should have heard him. Yeah, it's just like I mean, it's just and I'm at a point where I don't even want to bitch and complain about like what all's wrong. I just want to point out the handful of things that that are, I want to make it very aware to the fans and our listeners. Like, I want to point out the things that are indicators of how far this team is from just doing things sound. Don't forget what kind of offense you're running. Just doing things in a sound manner. And you know how much a dummy cadence would help C.J. Stroud in that offensive line? Unbelievable amount. Do you know how much a tight end that would just chip on that last play on at any time for Ariante Ursher, you know how much that would help him?
Yes.
I mean, just a little. Not every play. I mean, I'd do it every play, but you don't have to do it every play. Just when
running back to run by and just hit him.
Just when the game's on the line. And the bad thing is, hell, you're lining guys up there and doing it. They're lined up right there. All they can do is do it. They're running. They're avoiding him. So it's like the handful of things offensively that they're not doing is just an indicator of how far this offense is. And I can't believe D'Amico Ryans, being the football guy that he is, has overlooked this offense for an entire training camp. And this is the product we get.
And that, while you're on that, like that to me was there were a lot of bad things yesterday. A lot of bad things. There are a lot of bad things confirmed afterwards in some of the press conferences, Clint. But the worst thing was, and we talked about this Friday, you did your key matchups, and we talked about the key matchups, and we said when the Texans have the ball, the key matchup is Ariante Ursher against Josh Hines Allen. And we talked about how big of a deal that is, and I said, but this cannot just be on Ursher. This has to be everybody. Not allowing Josh Hines Allen to ruin the game. And not only did they just allow it, they said on the most important play of the game, we definitely just going to allow. What they did in terms of not giving him help, and listen, Ursher after the game said he didn't play up to his standard and he takes full responsibility. Listen, big dog, I appreciate it, but that wasn't on you, boss. That wasn't completely on you. All right, it's clear. Man, he lets you know, hey, man, I need some help. I mean, with his play, I need some help. And you just let him go over there. I mean, he was holding on for dear life. If he wasn't getting a penalty, I mean, it was a bull rush speed. It didn't matter, and you wouldn't help him. That is wild. We've talked, Ron,
it's the most egregious thing by far that I saw this weekend. It's the most egregious. You've got a rookie left tackle in the game, and you should come into the game with a heavy chip package. You should come into the game doing your damnedest to minimize how many times you put that left tackle on an island. That should be a priority number one. That should be a Nick Caserio should walk his ass in there and go, hey, man, don't leave my left tackle that I drafted in the second round. Don't leave him on an island. D'Amico ought to walk in there and say, hey, Big Nick, I don't care what the hell you do offensively, but your ass better have a package to protect my left tackle. And Nick Caley should have multiple ways, whether he could bring a receiver in motion. Hell, they can't separate anyway. Bring a receiver in motion and bang the hell out of the ear hole of Josh Allen. Do it all. Empty the clip trying to help that left tackle. And what do these guys do? They claim every week we start with protection. Every week we start with protection. Before we even talk about route concepts and how we want to attack, every week we start with protection. And your ass can't protect your left tackle with the game on the line. You mean make you even more sick about it, Ron? You mean make you even more sick about it?
Yeah.
Texans fans, make you more sick about it? It was a base four-man rush. They didn't even play games. They didn't even walk the backers up in the gap. The backers were at depth. It was a four-man rush. It was tailor-made for C.J. Stroud to sit his ass back there in a nice, comfy pocket and pick somebody apart. And because the coaches on this team, I'm not blaming it all on Nick Caley, by the way. You got an O-line coach. You got a head coach. You got a GM that's awfully involved, right? All involved. The fact that that there was not a chip. And the bad thing was, you lined Dalton Schultz up in the hip position right there, and his ass avoided Hines on the way out to run a route. I mean, you ought to be. I mean, it's a crying ass shame that ended up happening. And what you end up doing is now you got your rookie left tackle has to go to the meeting and say, guys, I let y'all down. I mean, that was set up, Ron, for C.J. Stroud. That was first 2-3 series of the Tampa game where C.J. Stroud was sitting back there patting the football, just doing his thing. It was tailor-made set up for success.
I mean, they gave you – you could have done it. You should have come in right into the game with the plan. First quarter, he showed you he needed help.
Oh, yeah.
Second quarter, he showed you he needed help. I don't know what quarter that was where he had the back-to-back just egregious off – like clear hold – that they got called, and then they followed it up with a bull rush in which he sacked CJ. That was a back to back. At that point, there is no way that we're doing any kind of besides a 3-step drop, get the ball out quick without giving him help. And the final play of the game.
Yep.
All through. just wild. All right.
From a group that starts with protection.
A football talk on Sports Radio 610 is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. We do this every week. CJ Stroud's great. 25 of 38, 204, one touchdown, two picks, 66 quarterback rating. What was C.J. Stroud's grade yesterday? We'll get our quarterback's thought. Clint Sterner coming up next.
It's a Mokarem Injury Lawyers Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
On third and short, Stroud calls for the ball. Here's the snap. C.J. looking. C.J. pumping and firing. The ball is tipped, and it's intercepted inside the five. They're going to say drop. Oh, they're going to say he's got it. An official comes in late, and they're going to say it's picked. It was deflected along the way and picked off, and the Jags are going to stop the drive.
All right, that's Mark Vandermeer, as that sealed the game for the Jacksonville Jaguars as they defeated the Houston Texans yesterday. And that interception was not C.J. Stroud's fault. Obviously, as he was going back to throw that one, he got his arm hit, and then that deflection from the guy we just talked about in the last segment, Josh Hines Allen, that ended the game. He did throw another interception earlier in the fourth quarter. I think I had 3 turnovers in the fourth quarter. Obviously, Nico's one that was really, really tough as they were driving. But we do this each and every week. C.J. Stroud's grade. What was it? 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch. What did you have in terms of performance, a grade for C.J. Stroud? 25 of 38, 204, one touchdown, two interceptions, quarterback rating of 66.1. He also ran the ball 4 times for 22 yards. We'll start with you, Clint. What was your grade for C.J. yesterday?
Yeah, for me, it's an F.
Oh God!
I've just seen enough, Ron. I mean, there was
good hell.
There's little to no positive approach to what we're watching. I mean, if the double move with Nico Collins, that was a throw in the ocean. It was a great call, great throw in the ocean, great execution by the wide receiver. I mean, that's literally the play, right? And it was a double move. The DB bit. The wide receiver was wide open. The quarterback didn't do anything but get it there. You know, we're just some of this stuff, Ron. You know, the interception.
Oh.
All right. The interception. Like you just can't make that throw. Like you just can't.
Stared it down.
You stared it down. Yeah. The commentators talking about, oh, he baited him. Look, he played this great. You can't do it. But more importantly for me, the reason I got to give him an F is because, look, I mentioned earlier, throwing the screens versus press man coverage, the poor separation and throwing the interception, you know, those are things that if you're any level of alpha, any level of leader, any level of – and it's not the interception itself. It's the fact that the spacing sucks. These receivers running routes on top of each other. These receivers running slants that are running together, running digs that are running together. At some point, C.J. Stroud has to say enough is enough. I'm the one out there doing all this stuff. We've got to he's got to be more ultimately. And I really mean more in preparation and how we're setting up for a game, because what they're doing right now is just piss poor. As I said earlier, I think his unit, it's lacking so much. Every aspect of the game, effort, energy, communication, physicality, like holding guys accountable, moping around because things ain't going good, the poor decisions, like a lot of that to me at this point has to fall on the lap of the quarterback. And so I'm there, number one, with C.J. Stroud. And I'm going to be honest with you, man. You know, I don't expect C.J. Stroud to be Lamar Jackson. But every game, I watch. We watch Red Zone during the post game show every time, Ron. And I'm watching quarterbacks that are of the ilk of C.J. Stroud, like similar expectations, kind of team second, third year guys that are in line to get some money, or maybe they've already got some money. That hey, the coach seems to be the right guy. Things are coming, and I watch these guys deal with subpar protection. Guys blowing coverages, free runners coming in on blitzes, and whether they're standing in there and delivering throws and taking the chin, or they're pushing up hard in the pocket like we saw Baker Mayfield. Don't tell me Baker Mayfield's a better athlete than C.J. Stroud. We saw Baker Mayfield since the rush last week pushed up in the pocket. Everybody ran right by him, and he went and got a first
down. Trevor did it.
Yeah, we're watching guys do things with good teams. I'm talking about good quarterbacks and good teams with playoff caliber rosters. We're watching those quarterbacks overcome some very similar protection problems, and CJ's just not doing it. And so I'm through with you know, pointing fingers everywhere else. Like, if CJ's going to be a $60+ million a year guy, Ron, if CJ Stroud is going to be the face of this franchise moving forward, that he's got to take the bull by the horns and go get this done.
Well, hell, Clint, we keep this up, we may be having to look at a 5th-year option. Here in a bit.
Oh, the 5th-year option is more likely than 60 million
right now. If they keep this up, text line coming in. F minus. Someone said C minus. D minus. Someone else said I will say C. A lot of it just had to do with the pressure, and he can't control that. D. I would say D. I don't think he's getting a ton of help. I was very around him, but I do think a lot of it is him. That's why I didn't get to an F.
Ryan, but Ryan, your guy. Here's the thing, though. Your guy. I don't mean to interrupt you, but your guy can't. Your quarterback can't be what Nick Caserio and D'Amico want everybody else to do. Just show up and do your job. Like, you can't. Like D'Amico. Like, he's got to go to the sidelines. Hey man, enough with the left guard rotation, man. Yeah. Give me a huddle that I'm familiar with, and let's go. Like, he's got to do the. We're at a point. We're at a fork in the road, where C.J. Stroud's got to quit waiting on D'Amico Ryans to make the right decision on offensive coordinator. That offensive coordinator grow up, and C.J. Stroud has to just take the bull by the horns. Sorry, I didn't mean to. I know you got a D. I know you want to sell your D. My bad.
I don't need to sell your grade.
There was a day when you sold it.
D's not for sale.
D's no longer off the market.
Yeah, D's not for sale.
Your grade.
There's not even cards to be played right. D's not for sale. No, I mean, I think I was really disappointed in a lot of things. Like, one, I mean, and I don't think that's all on Nick Caley, but, I mean, hell, it doesn't matter if Christian Kirk plays slot or Berrios or anybody in slot, he made no impact. They found no way to really make any impact with him. It didn't matter. Everything looked like it did, even when he wasn't there. So that's concerning. That, all right, now Justin Watson ain't holding everybody that's going to be here, and it still looked like that. So it's a rough one.
Can I give you another example real quick?
Go ahead.
I'll be honest with you. If I'm C.J. Stroud on that last drive, I'm telling Dalton Schultz in the huddle, hey, boss.
Oh, yeah.
Chip 41's over there with their Ariante.
They told us he has control.
All you got to do is tell him in the huddle. If you got a tight split, here's the deal, guys, in the huddle. If you got a tight split in this drive, chip the end, period. Both sides, wherever you're at, chip the end. All right, let's go. Let's run the play, right? I mean, we're at a point where he's got it. It's year three for him, man. Veteran quarterbacks that are $60 million a year guys, they do those kind of things.
Was there even a play action on that third and one play? I can't even remember. Was there even play action?
No, I don't remember. There was a deep-ass drop. I don't remember if it was play action or not.
Oh, third and one. That play action could have helped. Maybe slow down that 1 second they needed. Mm. There might have been. All right, I see somebody gave him an E. I see a lot of people coming in with their grades. Coming up, D'Amico, he did it again with those comments that are driving people nuts. But I think if we listen to it closer, I think we're maybe starting to see maybe where some of this disconnect is coming in the locker room. We'll discuss that as we continue.
It's a Mokarem Injury Lawyers Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right. I think one of the things that we started to see from Texans fans on social, I know you were seeing it on the text line yesterday as you all were doing the post-game show, Clint, and all over, is we're close. That line has really seemed to be a trigger for a lot of Texans fans coming from the head coach, DeMeco Ryans. And he said it, I think, am I right about this, Tyler? Did he open up yesterday?
Yes, he started the damn post game with it. Yep.
He started the post game.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I'm just fired up.
And with that, I want to hear that. Can you get me yesterday's, the one how he started it? Because I know he spoke about it again today that made some people want to shave their eyebrows and head. But he kicked it off. He walked in and kicked it off with it yesterday about the we're close thing, and I think it is just absolutely infuriating Texans fans to a whole nother level, because he said it, you know, after the Rams game, all right, 14-9, okay, the way you watched that game, you felt like, all right, may have stolen it. Then after the Bucs game, you know, he said it again, and I think it frustrated, but then after yesterday's game, and yes, it was tight, and we talked about it last week, all of the games, it would appear like, boy, I don't know if they're in these games because they're making a lot of plays to be in these games, or because the other teams are doing things to help them to be in these games. But I know that's something that people aren't wanting to hear right now. We're close. And I can understand the frustration, because when you watch the games, especially to what the expectations were for this team, there's nothing about the games that look like they're close. There's nothing about the games that makes you think that they are going to be able to be close to getting past where they've been the last couple of years, which has been their goal.
Well, Ron, that's why I am a huge product guy. I mean, they can go out there like this week. Like you got the Titans. You can go out there and you can win by two scores. And if it's a double move to Nico Collins, and you know, a play action shot that you take over the top to Christian Kirk, and nothing else in between looks worth the damn, and you're able to win 14-13. You know, like how it looks really, really matters to me. The Texans are at a spot. Well, they were 0-3. They're not now. They just need to win anyway and get it. But you know, they're at a spot where the expectations are to compete for Super Bowls. And if the product doesn't stand up to the test, then I think, you know, that's just the way that I choose to view it. This product stinks.
No, it does. it does. Like you said, some of it, and it's not all just one side of the ball, right? Some of the stuff on the other side of the ball. Like, I don't want to blame the defense. The defense has played absolutely well enough to win all three of these games, but they've also had some moments where you're like, what the hell?
Yeah, no, look, the defense has not been as good as we thought the defense was going to be. But with that said, I mean, when your offense is scoring 12 and a half points a game, you don't have much room for error. So, yeah. Look, I don't know that this defense, especially with the injuries that they have, which, by the way, I mean, you're down two of your top three corners, and you somehow keep them to 17, and you let them score the 17th point. So that that's still pretty damn good. Do they have their warts? Absolutely. There's some things defensively that's got to get better. In every game, something kind of sticks out that you're like, what are we going to do here? But this defense has played good enough to be a defensive-led team that could be 3-0.
Absolutely. Yes. Here was DeMeco coming out and starting the press conference in terms of the post game last night. From the post game last night, this is how he kicked it off with the we're close comment.
When you have the penalties that we had to kind of knock us back a lot offensively, defensively, penalty in the end zone, you turn the ball over three times, that's tough to win in this league. It's tough enough to win, but when you put yourself in position where you're helping the opponent, like, that's just not a good recipe for winning football. So till we clean up the things we can clean up, right, then we'll and we play winning football, then we'll have a chance to turn it around. But again, man, we're close. That's what it is. We're close, but close isn't good enough. So we got to pick it up and find a way to get a win.
All right, so that was him in the post game. And then when C.J. Stroud was in the post game, he was asked, what was the message from D'Amico Ryans afterwards? And for me, when I heard this, when I was listening to this, Clint, this is the first time where I was just like, oh, maybe this is a place of disconnect between CJ, maybe some other players, but CJ and D'Amico. As D'Amico was saying, we're close. This was CJ in response to his message after the game.
It's fixing the issues. You know, we're really close, and that's the problem. Is that we just keep, you know, reiterating that we're close, and you know, now it's time to, you know, fix the issues and, you know, be honest with one another. So, you know, his message is just, you know, we're going to keep having these results. If we don't finish and we don't, you know, take care of the ball and just do the small things, because the effort's there, the physicality. Now it's just the execution.
I've wondered, like, I've heard you say, I'm on CJ's side the last week on kind of his approach and what he's saying there. And I didn't know how to make of that, but I just listened to that right there. And when I heard it last night, I said, oh, that's why he's walking around here looking and sounding the way he does, is we're here and we keep reiterating that we're close. And he's saying, but maybe that's the problem, and we need to have some real conversations and be honest with each other. That's a different space in how the quarterback is thinking and what the coach is saying.
I'll tell you right now, C.J. Stroud is handling the adversity with this football team better than anybody else, including D'Amico Ryans. I love the way that it's we're lollygagging at practice. We need to focus a little bit. We need to do things better. Maybe even insinuating there's a little bit of arrogance or maybe some false confidence, and we think we're a little bit better than we are. And like, we got to win. And this right here, like, I love I'm not saying you should ever throw anybody under the bus, but right there, CJ said what he needed to say. We need to have some serious conversations. It's time we have some real conversations. It's time D'Amico Ryans and Nick Caserio and Nick Cayley and all the whole staff that you retain that's supposed to get this thing better. It's time we have some dead ass serious conversations, and it's not about techniques and mechanics. So he sounded like
we got to stop with this close thing.
Yeah, no, I agree. I love.
We got to start having serious conversations.
CJ Stroud has. I mean, there's the shift in the way he was handling losses last year to the media, to the way he's handling these losses. And maybe it's because he's a year old. Maybe it's because he's been getting his ass whooped for over a year now and he's tired of getting beat down. But, you know, there's the way he's handling it right now is exactly – everybody always asks, what do you want him to say, Clint? This is what I want him to say. I want to know that my quarterback is extremely disappointed. I want to know that my quarterback understands that it's more than just technique and mechanics. I want to know that we're going to approach this thing as if we are a country mile away, not as if we're close. Let's just keep doing the same old. So I love the way CJ Stroud is at least communicating with the media after games and how this thing needs to be handled.
That was my thing, is I knew that, like, all right, D'Amico was saying this stuff to us, the media, like, we're close. But I always thought, like, what D'Amico is saying to us is obviously there's probably a different message that he's saying in the locker room behind closed doors. Now I think he really believes it. Like, and not and yes, on the scoreboard, yes, they're close. But in terms of what this team should look like and where they're supposed to be, like I think I think he's preaching it to them as well. As like, we're close.
Keep doing what we're
and
doing.
I wouldn't, and I'm not surprised. Now I feel like we kind of heard it, but I'm not surprised to think there's some guys in there thinking like, I don't know what the hell. Mm-hmm. We ain't close. This ain't what this is supposed to look like.
Yep.
And so that was my thing, was maybe he's just saying that to us, but back, you know, behind closed doors, hey guys, this ain't good enough. It's like we just make a couple tweaks here and there, we just make a play here and there, we may be there. And I don't know. All right.
Keep doing what we're doing, man. We just gotta execute. Hey, left tackle. I know you're a rookie and all, man. Man, we just got really worked in feet this week, man.
Execute, baby.
They're all fixable.
I do wonder if anybody's gone to Nick Kalen and said, hey, man, we got a chip here, man. We got to help this guy. Like, even post game, like at some point, hey, man, we got to help this guy. No. Or we literally just, hey, man, we got to go back to practice, keep doing what we're doing,
guys. It may have been
process
like,
over results.
It may have been like last year's OC and just said, no, this is what we do.
Just execute.
Just execute. All right, coming up, we'll hear from you. 713-572-4610. We open up the phone lines. DeMeco said that he feels like they're close. They're close. He spoke about it again today. Feels like they are close. Do you agree? 713-572-4610. We will open up the phone lines. It started to become a tradition here on Mondays. We'll open up the phone lines and hear from you. 713-572-4610. You want to get in, call up, and we'll do that coming up as we continue on this Reaction Monday. We hear from you coming up next.